We're on Chicago 670 The Score on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Shout out to our video team, Connor O'Donnell, Jenna Duddleston, and Matt Anaya. Also, our producing crew, Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, Brandon Fryer as well, and you, as we broadcast live through The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. I'm happy it is finally draft day, but man, if the Cubs did not do something big to make them the lead discussion in our show today.
Is it the fact that they won or the fact of how they won?
It's all of it. You know, here you are. I wasn't here yesterday. I said to Ian Happ, oh yeah, the game on Friday is one of those regular season games to remember, right? Then there we go. Lo and behold, Ian Happ helps walk it off to, I would argue, have a more memorable regular season game, at least for him, than the Wild one on Friday. And I'm like, okay, well, that was pretty fun. This game's at 6 o'clock. Let's watch the Dodgers and the Cubs, you know, chop it up. We'll see what happens. They already won one of the games. I'm feeling good about life. And then once again, perhaps it was a combination of weather, excitement, and all the else, we have another Cubs win, unlikely, against the Dodgers in a way that was, again, breathtaking. But more importantly, even than that, in my opinion, is that Pecro Armstrong, if you didn't speak it into existence, Marshall, is showing people exactly why he can not only get to his potential, but even move past it in such a short amount of time.
3 for 4. Home run, dramatic three-run home run into the basket.
That was low, by the way. That was such good timing on his part with that ball, the strength, if you will.
He's now homered in consecutive games for just the third time in his career, and the 4 RBI, that's a career high for him. Now, here's the thing. He has a major league leading 12 extra base hits since April 12th. In his last 20 games, since March 31st, he's hitting .350 with 8 doubles, 1 triple, 5 home runs, 16 RBIs, and he's OPSing at 1,051.
And a partridge in a pear tree. So he was 3 for 4 last night, as we know. 4 RBIs, as you mentioned. That ridiculous home run. And there's just something about the homers. Yes, you know, you're helped by the wind, sure. But to do that at that part in the zone, you know, it's a low ball. Confidence was there, but also just the timing mechanism of it to be able to wait just that nanosecond that you need to then provide a little more power to scoop it out like that. That was a really nice piece of hitting for so many reasons to me. And he's leaning into his confidence right now in a way that's functional for everyone. Moves up in the lineup, earns a spot, doesn't he? And you could argue he should move up again, right?
I don't know where I want him to hit. Honestly, I don't. He seems comfortable where he is. It gives some length to the Cubs lineup. And if Nico's going to continue to hit as he's been hitting, if Dansby Swanson's going to pick up the pace like he did going 2 for 4 yesterday, I'm okay with him being in the 7th spot for now. For now, I'm saying. Just because that's where he's comfortable. And he creates some chaos, too. Because don't forget, you said partridge in a pear tree. What about 2 stolen bases on top of that? He's now got 10 on the season.
Once he's on base, it will change the framework of your inning because you know that guys like Carson Kelly are still a threat. Didn't have a hit last night. I don't care. John Birdie, still a threat at the plate. We know that. So establish those two things knowing that they can also hit. I'm not expecting them to be as consistent, not even close, right? So considering Dansby had 2 hits, that's excellent. Brings his average up. It's gone steadily up this week, you know, already up to 192. That's a good sign, as we knew. 2 games will help you there when they're offensive juggernaut games like the ones they've had against the Dodgers. Cubs in a 7-6 win last night. But again, big innings, too. It's a 3-run fourth inning. It's a 4-run fifth inning. And we see the productivity just really come together. It's one thing for us and the stats to say that this is the best offense in baseball. It's another thing for them to believe it. And that's what you're seeing right now.
I think they performed offensively anyway, the way you should perform when you're going up against a team. I know it's the Dodgers. I know they've got arms on arms on arms. But if they're going to say, hey, we're doing a bullpen game today, that's when you do your thing. Ben Kasparis, he wasn't bad in this game. He gets to 2 2/3. Didn't give up anything, but it was a bullpen game. So he wasn't going to go 4, 5, 6 innings. It just wasn't in the cards for the Dodgers. And to see the way that the Cubs not only got the lead, but to have 3 innings, the 6th, the 7th, and 9th, where your relievers give up one batter over the minimum. And you have Porter Hodge come in, and we didn't know at the time, but we found out later their closer, Ryan Pressly, was unavailable, and do the job he did against the hitters that he did. Oh, I'm good with that. That's the way to say, we're done with that. We're done with the Dodgers. Let's take a day off. And of course, you ain't got much time off because the Phillies come to town, and it's a hungry, desperate Phillies team right now coming off of getting swept by the New York Mets.
Right, and a hungry Phillies team who also knows that it's not playing to its potential. Like, it's that part as well. But you're right. That was the most impressive part. Porter Hodge comes on, and we all said to each other on the group chat, we all had the same immediate thought. Oh, spicy. Porter Hodge instead of Ryan Pressly. And we find out that Ryan Pressly had to have his knee drained, which... Yeah. Sounds a little more serious than I want it to sound.
Well, it sounds more serious than they made it sound. Like, oh, yeah, he'll be back later this week, you know? And so the thing is, in the moment, when Porter Hodge comes in, you're like, oh, look at this preference of the manager, Craig Counsell, to go with Porter Hodge. But then you find out it was out of necessity. To me, that puts more pressure on Porter Hodge because you're the guy now.
I got to tell you, he leans into a moment. Like he will lean in, and I say that with a laugh as a woman in, you know, somewhat of a corporate setting. But I want to examine also, yeah, gets Austin Barnes to line out. Shohei Ohtani comes up. He's like, cool, here's a slider that you can't hit. I mean, that was such a bold pitch in that count, and he's able to get it done. And Ohtani was ahead of the count, by the way. And then Porter Hodge flipped the script. I love that at bat for so many reasons, just because he was able to go at him and basically say, I'm not afraid in this moment. And it was an electric crowd at Wrigley yesterday, too. The weather, I think, really helped bring it together in a way. Like, you could see people are practically on their feet the entire game. Started a little early, sun was shining. Like, you noticed that, too, right? Just how active the crowd was as a part of this.
How can you not be active? Listen.
But it was everything. It was everything put together.
Yeah, if it's a home game and your guys are constantly just putting up runs in bunches and you know they're going to score, so you get hype because that's what they do. There's an expectation there now if you go to a Cubs game that it's not going to be a 2-1 game. In all likelihood, it's going to be a 9-7 game.
The more encouraging piece of it to me is that you know that if they're down, something that seems insurmountable, even against the teams that are the best in baseball, you don't care. You know that this team has a chance. And as a lineup, you know, when we talk to guys like Ian Happ and other players about the confidence that they have, you can't tell me that Kyle Tucker isn't improving every bit of that lineup just because they know that guy's going to hit when he sees what he needs. Look at the improvement in Seiya Suzuki as well. He brings a lot on his own. There's no doubt about that. But just the consistency and how this is looking and the confidence, that is it's an incredible thing to see. And if you're going to have a guy like Porter Hodge come in that setting and be able to be like, nah, I'm cool. I'm down 0-2 as the pitcher. That's all right. Or I'm down 2-0 as the pitcher, rather. We'll get this done. Slider. Next batter. Mookie. Fly out. Ball game. Day off.
The thing is, Shohei Ohtani in this game, he goes 1-for-5. Mookie Betts has 3 hits. Teoscar Hernandez, well, he did his damage. 2-for-4. You hold Freddie Freeman 0-for-4. Andy Páez doesn't look that great, just 1-for-4.
He's batting under 200. One was a spicy home run.
It was, but overall, one of the reasons that we looked at that series, you got to go way back, in Japan, and they got beat 2 games in a row, is the offense wasn't doing anything, and you were getting beat by a team that didn't have Freddie Freeman or Mookie Betts. Well, they've got those guys now, and over the last 2 series against Ohtani, they've held Shohei to 2-for-21, no home runs, no RBI, and 7 strikeouts, right? So you're looking at this as, okay, maybe the Cubs can do something if these two teams face off again in the postseason.
That's it. The whole month so far, I know this is wild to say, but when you're facing the Padres, the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers, the Padres, the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers, the Padres, the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers, when you're facing those teams, it does feel like one massive playoff series. And the crowd just added to it in a big way yesterday that I felt also had them recognizing the same thing. This is elite level baseball. This is big boy baseball. You're basically in the NL West this month, and you have shown them that you can hang. This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Let's listen to your guy, PCA, talk about what he feels like has clicked for him at the plate.
I've just stayed really true to you know, what I know I do well, and that's not always easy. I mean, swinging the bat's really hard some days. I just had a pretty tough day from, you know, personally, 2 days ago, and or 3 days ago, I guess. But, you know, just I think this month searching for the steady line instead of just this up and down that I've experienced a lot, and, you know, and at times I've let it get away from me. So, being really consistent in my work and knowing what I do well and just every day going back out there and looking for that. And, you know, like I brought up earlier, it's so easy to go and have a clear mind and in a game where you always got runners on base in front of you, and I'm able to lay a bunt down or hit the ball to the right side of the field and or hopefully put a ball in the air. Like you saw it with Nico tonight, you saw it with Bushy yesterday. I don't know what's really clicked. I've been feeling good since the spring, but it's just easy to kind of go out there and execute when you're not feeling your best, when you just got a lineup of gangsters. You know, it's cool.
And there it is.
Alexa,
the confidence
play.
Knowing that somebody else is going to pick you up so you can rest a little easier and maybe wait that teeny, 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 teeny nanosecond longer to then scoop a ball that is practically at your ankles into the fans.
Alexa, play Gangster's Paradise by Coolio. That's where we are right now with this lineup and the way they've been hit. It's funny because...
Isn't that a struggle? Isn't Gangster's Paradise about a struggle?
It hasn't been a struggle for the Cubs to get to 16-10?
Minute after minute, hour after hour? No! This isn't a struggle.
Those same guys who hit, they do go out on the field. You know that, right?
They've been spending most of their lives in a legitimate paradise.
I don't know if it's
like,
been...
Oh, guess I better hit another home run. Whoop!
Hey, listen.
Guess I better throw a manslider to Shohei Ohtani to get him out after two balls and to begin this outing. Boop!
Pete Crow Armstrong...
Guess we better enjoy this day off.
They got a lot of those. Pete Crow Armstrong started this season 2-for-24. I want to remind people of that. That's less than 100. You talk about the Mendoza line. That's less than 100. 2-for-24. If I told you after what we witnessed in Japan that the Cubs, in a matter of a month and 5 days, if we're being technical with it,
we should,
would win the season series against the Dodgers, what would have been your response, Layla Rahimi?
You're crazy.
If I said that and I said, oh, and by the way, Justin Steele's going to be out for the season.
That's awful. These things don't line up.
Matt Shaw's been sent down.
Something bad happened.
They had this DFA Gage Workman.
Thank goodness for Kyle Tucker.
Listen, man, that's why I'm saying, you say it hasn't been a struggle. You don't know the struggle that these players have been dealing with. You just know the end result. You just know 16-10.
You just know
that they've already clinched a winning record through the month of April.
I don't know about that life. Should we get a bigger glimpse into the, quote, struggle, end quote, with Pete Crow Armstrong?
Yeah.
He talked to Taylor McGregor after the game last night, appropriately hearing the Go Cubs Go song. Actually, I think it was Elise, guys.
It was Elise Maker.
It says Taylor, but it's cool. Taylor, you're great. Elise, you were the one who interviewed him. Sorry about that.
I mean, it's definitely been a tough start to the year in terms of the schedule. You know, the Dodgers are a really good team. You've seen that in just about every game that we have played against them. But the way this offense is being resilient, the way the bullpen's coming and doing their work, and, you know, just collectively, this team works really hard behind the scenes, and you see what happens on the field because of that.
Listen, he's telling you about his adversity, though. He's telling you it's been a tough start to the season, but somehow we're 16-10 because we keep coming up with big hits and big moments, and who knew Porter Hodges was ready to be like, I can close against the heart of the Dodgers lineup. I can shut down MVPs. That's where we are right now, and I think this what this does is it gives a level of optimism that has not been seen in this city for quite some time when it comes to talking about baseball.
I just fan myself.
Oh, you need to cool off a little bit?
I was reading some stats.
Go ahead, give me the stats.
Let's do some breaking stats that are not actually breaking. All right, I just looked at the Fangraphs war leaders right now. That's my personal war that I like, is Fangraphs. Aaron Judge leading in total war.
Yeah, he's pretty
That's
good.
Not the breaking part. Corbin Carroll, by the way, second at 1.9.
Yeah, I'm aware.
And you know who's third?
I'm guessing it's PCA at this point.
PCA.
He has passed Kyle Tucker on the F4 train.
He has, but Kyle Tucker's still in the top five at 1.7, and so is Fernando Tatis Jr. Your Chicago Cubs have two players in the top five in Fangraphs War. I'm going to enjoy this moment.
What's the number again for PCA?
1.8.
Okay, doing some quick math here. 1.8, he's on pace to have a 10 war season. Yeah.
That would be wild.
Their next game will be the 1/6 mark of the season.
Yes. Is it wrong that immediately I'm like, man, I hope this isn't a streaky hitting situation? Like, I just went immediately right there. That's not good.
I apologize to all the texters telling me that I triggered both the Alexa and, the Echo. I apologize when I said Alexa play, so I'll stop doing that.
This is like the Wingstop commercial with the doorbell that gets all the dogs going crazy.
My bad.